about, as we have a number of sidewalk issues, about, you know, some of these complications that we've noticed along the way creating this law, such as how to plan for trees, you know, all the little impediments that sort of show up when we talk about different neighborhoods and everything. Britt was telling me about, for example, new ways of adjusting sidewalks for trees and things like that. So, Britt, if you want to just give us 5-10 minutes, whatever.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. So I thought we could talk about some strategies for doing a more integrated streetscape planting with an accessible sidewalk. So there's different strategies that we could do where we could capture stormwater runoff, because our goal is to really try and capture as much stormwater on site so we aren't contributing to combined sewer overflow or certainly like stressing any of our drainage systems. So if we can retain as much of rainwater or any stormwater overflow on site or in tree grates as possible, that's beneficial. And strategies to do this would include expanding the tree grates. And we wouldn't want to expand the tree grates so that they're an impediment for someone with a mobility disability or a mobility impairment or someone that's moving with a stroller. What we could do is do longer tree grates that are maybe 10 feet long but only 3 feet wide. And then you would put the curb cut on the street-facing side. So any of the stormwater coming off the crown of the road would then channel into this rain garden or this bioswale. And it would also contribute to a more ecological planting, because you wouldn't just have like a monoculture ground cover. You'd have different plantings, and they could be pollinator-friendly plantings or shade-tolerant plantings, depending on the scale of your tree. So certainly like a newly planted tree that has only a 2 to 3 inch caliper, that's where you could do some of these sun-loving milkweeds and goldenrods. And then something's a little bit shadier, we could pick native plantings like aquilegia or trillium, tiarella. And so I think these are ways to satisfy some of our ecological concerns, develop a resilient design, and also handle stormwater management without damaging the sidewalks. The other benefit of these bioswale designs is it's giving more soil depth to the trees. So one of the biggest impediments to sidewalks are that the root system is popping your concrete sidewalks. And the strategies to solve this generally are to do a larger tree pit to give the tree growth, or to do suspended soils and suspended pavements. That tends to be a more expensive solution. So in a space where you have a ton of foot traffic and you really can't sacrifice the square footage to plantings, then you could do soil cells. And those are vaulted soil containment spaces for trees.
I should mention, by the way, sorry, Britt, didn't mean to interrupt you, but Britt is on the agenda tonight as a new member. She's being nominated as a new member of the Conservation Advisory Council. So I thought I might add that. Sorry, continue.
Congratulations.
Hopefully you guys see me qualified. You'll get to see my resume and bio later.
I think we're already impressed.
Well, I just think there's some really integrated ways that, you know, you're building these sidewalks out, or we're thinking of ways to do sidewalk redesign, and we could tackle a couple things at once. You know, when I was walking around with Hillary and Tom, we were noting that some of the sidewalks don't have proper expansion joints, or they don't have full depth contraction joints. And some of these are, you know, really standard practices in sidewalk design. But when you have completely different trades managing it, that you don't have that continuity of design, and that can be a real challenge. So someone finishes their sidewalk and they don't put the viscous, expansion joint next to the neighboring concrete sidewalk, and then you're going to have cracking, popping. There's no evidence of welded wire mesh or rebar, which are other strategies to create stable sidewalks.
Explain to me, like you did the other day, about why the ones on Union Street are not really ideal. You know, there's those experimental ones. I don't know if everybody's seen them, but they had to be rebuilt. They really weren't. They were supposed to be, you know, state of the art, but they haven't functioned properly.
Yeah. So without criticizing another professional's work, there's different strategies to look at this. So I, from an outsider perspective, would almost 100% guarantee that that was designed by a civil engineer. And a civil engineer attacks a problem just very differently than a landscape architect attacks a problem. A civil engineer's main goal is about conveyance, moving the water. And so they're very effective at that. And they use a lot of subsurface drainage strategies to accomplish this. So they'll use perforated pipe. They'll convey the water to offsite. What we're thinking about, because we're thinking of low impact development and green infrastructure strategies, we're actually thinking about trying to retain the water on site. But what's happening is the way they were designed is almost like bathtubs. So on a really heavy rain, you're seeing that it's holding the water for a very, very long time in a small space that's very deep. And so that can be contributing to root rot for the tree. It's not placed over enough of a footprint, and it probably doesn't have the right soils for quick drainage. So you would want a lot of perlite and, you know, quick draining soil, similar that you would see on a green roof application almost. You wouldn't want like a really organic loamy soil that we would use in our gardens to get really lush plantings. And so, you know, we're looking at it, the trees are suffering, they're in really small little bathtub containers, and the water is being channeled and held, and it should be going away. So there's likely a clog in the conveyance system. And I think if we were to kind of think about this as landscape architects or with an ecological bend, and we were to do bioswales or effectively rain gardens, we would still be holding the water on site, but it would be dispersed over a larger footprint. We'd have the plantings to sort of conceal this low impact development green infrastructure. And we'd be helping pollinators and plantings, and we'd also have a visual amenity as opposed to infrastructure.
How do you plan or deal with trees that have already burst through with their root systems into the sidewalk?
That's tricky. So you would have to do selective root pruning. So when you're breaking up the concrete sidewalk to do a replacement, you do selective root pruning, and you'd have to adjust it with the grade. So you'd have to have a slight pitch. And part of that's balancing the 2% cross slope, which is for compliance, as well as being under 5% grade, so you're not classified as a ramp.
Uh-huh. Tiffany has a question.
Oh, Tiffany, I don't see you, but please ask.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Tiffany.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I wanted to know, do you have any pictures or diagrams of what you're describing? Because
yeah,
I can speak with you after the meeting as well, or maybe tomorrow, but I just want to see for myself how that would look on the sidewalk. It's not too much of the appearance for me because I love trees. I represent in an area where we have a building that is dedicated to seniors. We have multiple complexes in my ward also that dedicates to people with disabilities. So I just want to just see it so I can show them.
Yeah,
and they can have that idea as well of what that may look like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have a really interesting population, and we should be designing for all different people to be able to access and move through our spaces. So everyone should be able to move through at their own pace and in their own way. And anyone who has a mobility impairment really navigates the world in a different lens than someone who doesn't. And that's actually something that I spent a huge amount of time with in design and considered a lecture around for therapeutic gardens and healing gardens. So this is forefront of my thinking. I'm going to just do, if I could have a share screen.
Yeah, it's available.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I have like a sloppy computer. I'm using my little laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick that up. But so this is a DEP standard detail for a New York City rain garden and bioswale. So they are starting to adopt these as their baseline design as opposed to what they were doing previously, maybe like 5 to 10 years ago, which was tree grates and standard like 5 foot or 3 foot by 3 foot grates. So now they're almost always mandating that they're about 10 feet long. So here you can see there's a curb cut. So we have the curb cut channeling the water from the crown of the road. We have plantings. There is a gravel drainage layer here that is to help percolate so you don't have low spots or muddy washout. Mm-hmm. And then there is this protective tree gating around the perimeter of the tree well, and that's an aesthetic choice. It could also be for a chair user to feel a sense of comfort that they don't fall off the curb or feel that they're vulnerable to the depth change. So this is an example. I can also send you a couple more. I have several presentations. I just didn't prep one today because I didn't really think I'd be doing visuals. But here are a couple more that you can start to see. So this is one where the grade is sunken, and they're collecting stormwater from sidewalk side and crown side. This is a helpful diagram too. So I can pull together and just send you a couple cut sheets of this. And then if, you know, you can see in other strategies, you can go like really wild with your planting, or you can do more of like a monoculture.
If you have any free time this week, I would love to invite you to the second ward and show you the area and the most problems and, you know, where people that I represent have. That would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, you know, when you're designing these sidewalks, each condition will be sort of individualized for the site. You know, it's something that we're applying on Union Street or somewhere where there's like a really steep slope, some of like the Columbia Street slopes up towards the cemetery, is not going to apply down where there's heavy foot traffic or where there's children that are frequently playing. But I think this is a good educational opportunity too. You can have educational signage in the bioswales, and people can take ownership over the plantings, because then the next question is someone always asks is who's maintaining this?
Right.
And also, I just would love to see how it would look, because I know with Warren Street right now, it's not that wide of a sidewalk. And yeah. And then we have with the shared streets, when hopefully, you know, we'll go back to normal. But, you know, I'm just trying to visualize like how that would work with the stand, the wideness, and then the tables outside on the sidewalks, and then people trying to navigate through.
Yeah, it gets tricky. So things that we balance is we're not going width of the sidewalk. So our tree grades aren't going to be very wide. They wouldn't probably be more than 3 feet wide, but we're going for length. So that mm-hmm. then we're making sure we have at least a 5 foot clear path, 3 feet if there's movable furniture that can be moved out of the way, because someone that's using a chair or has a stroller needs a minimum of 36 inches clear path to comfortably move. I like to try and do 5 feet because that allows for a companion to move with the chair user. And then you would have the rest of the sidewalk for, you know, other passerbys, street furnishings, plant or something like that. So we could mark it out. We could take chalk and we can kind of do mock-ups.
Great. Thank you.
Hillary, you have your hand up. Unmute yourself, though.
Hi. I hope that you will all welcome Britt to the CAC with a vote tonight. I'm glad to see that she's presenting here. The other thing I wanted to mention in relation to what Tiffany was just saying is that I took a walk today from voting at the firehouse down Prospect, which is really lovely because Prospect has a tree lawn on both sides of the street, and it is it's not planted, it can be, but it is a nice tree lawn. And then I walked the whole length of State Street through the fourth ward and the second ward and back, and I think that what we should do consider doing is making State Street less wide for cars, have a wider sidewalk for pedestrians, and have a tree lawn there or bioswales like Britt was suggesting. But it's really, it will slow traffic down, because State Street traffic can get going pretty fast. and it'll slow it down. It'll make it feel more neighborhoody, the way it does over on Prospect Street. And I think it could be a really beautiful solution. There could also be bump outs at the corners. I know that that's a big streetscape change, but I think it would change State Street immeasurably.
Well, actually, we'll probably be experimenting with bump outs with the DRI connectivity project. There are a number of bump outs involved in the preliminary designs. So we'll, you know, we'll have the experience of bump outs, and then we'll see how they can be transferred to the rest of the city. Tiffany?
Yes, thank you. And Hillary, not just State Street, also Columbia Street, because Columbia sidewalks are just a tad bit smaller than State Street. And Columbia Street is where most residents with disabilities and with families live. So, you know, I would love, you know, we all three of us can get together.
Right. And below Third, I think you're absolutely right about Columbia. I'm just hoping that there won't be a truck route soon and it can be all of Columbia.
That was going to be my next thing with sidewalks.
You also highlighted two, what I would call green deserts in the city, where there's really a lack of green space and streetscape design in those on those two streets. So really vital spaces to really.
I'm sorry, I have another question. They just come in, Tom. Is that all right?
Sure.
Yeah.
What about property owners if they feel like, I don't want a tree here? Is this going to be something that you are looking as a mandation from the city?
I don't think so. No.
No.
Okay. Not at all.
We'd encourage it.
It's not part of the sidewalk law that we're actually here to discuss in any case. Jeff, do we have, I see on
the... Well, this is, you know, I think it's a very interesting discussion and it's important to have. And I'm glad Peter's here. You've got two things going on now, and I think this is an important third, although you brought up the DRI project, Tom, and I think that's important also. So tonight you've got the law to just incorporate the ADA standards and make sure there are minimum standards in the design of any ramps. And I think you should go forward with that. You need that to make it ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we have the sidewalk district law, which is to create the assessment district so you can pay for improvements to the sidewalks. That law in and of itself doesn't have any standards in it, and nor should it. What I think Britt's talking about, which I think is very useful, and working with Peter, is, you know, more of a wholesale change in our sidewalk standards. And especially if we go through and create the district, then you're going to create work plans and areas that you're going to be undertaking to do the work, where this kind of a planning, which is certainly much more ambitious than I think the city was talking about before, could be a very good idea. I mean, it's a question of cost effectiveness to be able to do it, how much you're retrofitting, where you're going to apply it to different areas of the city. I mean, you've got the areas we talked about, and this could affect how you want to think about the assessment law, is where you don't really have much sidewalks now. Are those places where you would like to incorporate them in the future or in the near future and include them, in which case they should be included in the assessment? And it's an area where you can do different designs. I mean, I would think, you know, it's not going to be a one size fit all everywhere in the city, because a lot of times you've got, you know, obviously buildings right up to the street front, to the sidewalk. You don't have, you know, there's not a lot of room. It's not necessarily an area where you can just, you know, traffic calming and narrow the streets, although in some places you will. So I think, you know, I think it'd be great for her to work with Peter and Rob and, you know, start looking at changes to, you know, the overall plan and then plan how you're going to roll it out in the city.
Yeah.
And I do think, and I think it's wonderful, Britt, you know, you get punished, of course, by volunteering and showing up to the city. And, you know, yay, enthusiasm. I would urge her to get involved with, we're talking about the phase two contract for the Bridge Connects project, where we're getting into the real design elements. And I know some of what she's talked about is included in that, but I haven't, they're literally going to go forward with the design. And I think it's certainly important for the city then, you know, to to the extent this stuff makes sense or where to do it, to start incorporating that now.
Exactly. That's the DRI project, Jeff. And right. By the way, right. Britt, Jeff is the city council, one of the city council. Yeah, I see Marie here.
No, I'm just the one who gives you work, Britt.
But we have potentially three members of the CAC here, and I think definitely, and I'm sure Ron, oh yeah, Ron's here. Ron, be aware that what you've been waiting for, more DRI meetings, and the design aspect, the thing I assume you're most concerned about, is happening soon. And I hope Britt and Hillary and Marie all participate as well.
Thank you.
About the actual law, where do we stand, Jeff? Do we...
Well, I apologize. I was going to give out a markup of the law, and I haven't done that yet. But the you folks still have to have your discussion of where you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, we need a map.
Yeah.
And how you want to cover it. And I think, you know, Britt's raised some new issues for you to consider in terms of, you know, maybe there are areas you want to include that you weren't going to before in terms of the city undertaking the project. I mean, I don't know who's looked at this. I mean, obviously, this thing's been in the works for a long time. Of start roughing out what annual budgets are going to be able, or what's the sustainable bonding based on these assessments and how the projects can get built out. How much can the city take on in a particular time? That's not my bailiwick.
Right.
But, you know, and that, you know, gauge someone on how you want to approach all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Britt can get together with all the council members so we can work that district out a little sooner.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. So we have more input and don't. Yeah. Yeah, we can put her on the agenda perhaps for next month. In case you don't have enough to do, Britt.
Yeah. I was going to share that, you know, as you're transitioning us in, there's a couple different strategies. There's certainly a complete streets type strategy, which is a really big undertaking because then you're creating a document with rules where you have a certain number of trees per linear foot. That gets challenging, as you had brought up. What if the homeowner doesn't want to have the tree? One of the benefits of the bioswale design is it tends to be more affordable than just pure concrete, because plantings are always more affordable than hardscape. Hmm. And I've seen other municipalities implement it by, as they replace new sidewalk, then they start with an expanded tree pit and a curb cut.
Cool.
And they just have a standard detail that the installer is comfortable with, that they can then kind of start applying it.
Yes. And I think these options are mentioned as possibilities in the DRI street connectivity project. Ron, did you have a question?
Matt would like to make a comment.
This is Matt McGee. I wanted to comment on the opening on the drainage and things like that, the trees. For example, Warren Street, the houses are paved right up to them, and these are antique houses. And they need the water to drain away from them, not back into them. Their basements will become wet. Their foundations will rot. The brickwork will be damaged. The drainage for these houses is extremely important. And then in other situations, the runoff should not be such a concern, because most of Hudson is not paved over, like Manhattan or some other place. There's plenty of places to absorb the rain in backyards, in small front gardens. It's not, you know, we have parks. We have the whole waterfront, which is absorbing water. And the other thing with the thing about trees and their roots, in the past, it was standard practice to plant trees which their roots go down. But now that's not being observed, partly because of salt. For example, in the old days, you would use a sycamore tree, and the roots go down. They don't damage the sidewalks. and now you were tending to use a locust tree because it will withstand the salt. But its roots grow up. They stay at their surface. They raise the sidewalk as the tree gets large. There are many different ways to handle this where there's a reason to. But I would say in Hudson, there's not a lot of reason most of the time to do these runoff things. In fact, most of our buildings would fare better as with the runoff being taken away, not held back against them. And I think this is important for our property owners and for the general well-being of the city.
Thank you, Matt. Oh, sorry.
I would agree with a lot of what you're saying. So when I was saying to hold the water on site, I'm not meant saying to hold the water against the building. Every sidewalk should have a cross slope pitch of 2% away from the building. That is a standard detail. It's also a requirement for ADA compliance. Hmm. So if you're going to be bringing your sidewalks up to code, that's a requirement that will be taken care of with that improvement.
But the runoff, if my mic is still open,
yes,
the runoff will not be going away from the house. I'm sorry. It will go into the ground as little as 5 or 4 feet away from the front of the house, and it will soak back to the building. This is how this works.
It'll be traveling in sheet flow across the sidewalk slope at 2%.
Yeah, the sidewalk will end before it comes to the street curb, and it will no longer run off onto the street and go down into the drains or down toward the waterfront. It will go into the ground right in front of the building, and that's not good, especially when there's runoff from really large buildings coming down onto the sidewalk from the gutters being funneled right back to the house by these cutaways and blocking the water into these spaces so that it's absorbed instead of running away. I mean, the whole idea of these slopes and things is to drain it to the curb and out into the sewer system. And we, you know, this is a small town. It's very hilly. There are very few places for water stands. And this is illogical and a very costly thing to do.
Thank you, Matt. Britt, do you have any response to that?
I have a lot of responses, but unfortunately, I just, not to be combative, but everything you said isn't 100% accurate. As a design professional, that isn't true. When the water is doing sheet flow across the sidewalk, it will be going into a tree pit, which has percolating drainage, which goes to the ground. You have a subsurface drainage and you have a drainage layer. So all of this is conveying down to the ground. If you have additional concerns that the tree pits aren't draining fast enough, you can do perforated pipe and layers of gravel. That will make it drain faster. It'll be draining to the subsurface as opposed to anywhere near your basements or homes. So what you're talking about is draining to the street. So that is a form of conveyance, which is a very common form of civil engineering practice. We're talking about low impact development, which is a more sustainable methodology to accomplish the same goal as by creeping the water on site. Another thing you were noting about the sycamores having a tack root versus the gladiolus having fibrous root systems, there's different trees that we can select that will not pop the pavement. The benefits of the tack rooted trees, like oak trees, some maples, is that they're very strongly rooted and the tap root is going extremely deep. The problem with these plantings is it takes a very long time for these trees to grow. They're traditionally a slower grower. So if you're aiming to get shade immediately, this isn't the tree you would select. If you want a tree that gets shade very quickly, like a gladiolus which we have a few of them on Warren Street, you get the dappled shade. Those tend to have a more fibrous root system and can pop sidewalks. So solutions for that would be giving it a larger tree grate or giving it a suspended pavement system. So I think tree selection is very important. You can also start selecting ornamental trees that only get a depth, or a height of 15 feet, and you can limb them up so that they aren't a danger and impediment to pedestrians.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions before we sign off? Okay, I'll see most of you later on at tonight's meeting at 7 p.m. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.